So if my heart gave up and my veins won't pump, 'cause my lungs gave in,
I know I gave it my all.
I gave it all of my all.
My all.
And if my calluses are bleeding and there's blisters on my feet, it's 'cause I put my soul in all I do. And they can't take it, 'cause I gave it all of my all.
Every day I hit the streets running, nothing less than 100. It's what I'm giving every day that I'm living. No sitting on the sideline, 'cause you know I got mine laced up, shoes on the run. Wanna hit them two words, said well done. If no one else to stand, I'll be that one. If no one else to stand, I'll be that one.
In a Yeah. I gave it my all, man. That's my homeboy Patience, man. Hey, it's the Made Men Radio Show. Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Men. You know how we do, man. Big Drake, what's up with your boy?
Chilling my brother, another lovely day with the
Bateman
family.
Yes, sir, man. Big Drake is on the road, getting that grind in. But man, before you hit the road late, early, but I guess late in the weekend, because your squad had a game last night, man.
Yeah, had a game last night. Guys played great. We ended up winning 70-30. And listeners, I just want to let you know that 30 literally came against our third string and eighth graders, which I don't know if it's even legal to have eighth graders play a high school football game. We did it anyway because the way it went, and I've never seen anything like this. I mean, unless, you know, back in the day when you were playing NCAA, and I guess, you know, USC was real good, and even on then, during that game, they had the black college teams on there. Y'all don't really do that anymore.
Yeah, HBCUs.
So if you pick USC and then play against, you know, Bethune-Cookman, you know, that's the kind of game it was, because literally, their offense got the ball first, four and out, first play offense, touchdown. Defense three and out, first play offense, touchdown. Defense three and out, first play offense, touchdown. Defense three and out, two play offense, touchdown. I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life.
So in Pop Warner, we had this thing called MPR, which is mandatory play rules, meaning I gotta play every kid at least 10 plays. None of your offensive players hit the mandatory play limits.
Wow. Now, see, they all think they played 10 plays. Because after the first quarter was over, and it was 37-9.
Wow.
And so, I'm trying to think if they even made it to the second quarter. I don't think they did. I think we put our two in. Of course, our two scored. Our two defense held them. Then once we put our threes in, which our threes scored, I mean, we took our ones out. I'm pretty sure at 37, maybe 40-something, maybe 44 or whatever it is. But we ended up scoring 70. And I know for a fact our first offense and defense didn't play at all the second half. And I'm thinking they only played the first part of the second quarter, and then we took all of them out. So even our twos and threes scored touchdowns. So that's how hard would it be. I mean, but they had some... It had some big guys. It wasn't like
It wasn't like you was playing little girls out there.
Exactly. Yeah, we were playing little sixth grade teacup girls.
So 8th graders still probably beat their squad. Your 10, 9, and 8th graders still probably score about 32. Just tabulating some of the numbers in my head.
The only thing I can think of, I mean, it was the coaching, because when you don't have talent, that was my thing at Lyman Ward. When you don't have the talent that you need to have, you have to make it offense or make it defense that best accentuates your talent.
Right.
Now, if you don't have talent, you don't need to be running the spread. The spread ain't your thing.
No. That's the problem here with the high school here.
Yeah. So at Lyman Ward, we trying to run the spread. No, bad idea. This team here was a heavy pass team. It wasn't quite the spread, but was more of
West Coast
a,
running gun.
Yeah, running gun, West Coast style offense.
Okay.
But which, you know, you got a job for that. You know, you run a West Coast style offense, that means you got a hell of a quarterback, and you got some wide receivers that can just get it.
That's right.
Now, when we very first started the game, they had this one kid who lined up that wide receiver. He was number 15. Oh, by the way, like 6'4", 200 pounds. So, like, oh, geez.
So you was like, oh, we finna have to go get it.
Yeah, no. I mean, once they got off the bus, I think in their mind they lost. Because, okay, you know, before the game, everybody's pumped, everybody's excited.
Yeah.
Especially as a high school kid, knowing the team sucked, and knowing that you're probably not going to, okay, two things. If your team sucks, you know, okay, well, I'm excited because this is the first part of the game. And, hey, we always have a chance to score 0-0.
That's right. That's right.
So you're excited to run through the little paper thing. If your team is good and you're a mediocre player, running out the paper thing might be the only thing you get to do that night.
Only time you get on the field today.
So you're excited. Well, when that team ran through the paper, well, I use ran so loosely. When two or three of their players ran through the paper and the rest of their team literally walked out.
Are you serious, dude?
I ain't never seen that like it. I ain't never seen that like it.
Are you serious, Big Drake?
Yeah, man. You had, and this wasn't a team that only had 20 players. This team had 45, 50 players, 53 players. So they had enough body. In that line of war, we had 25 on a team total.
Right.
This team had some bodies. Well, so they run out. Like I said, you can run out loosely. Yeah, they bust through paper, and like, let me write on half to the under half land. The rest of them was literally walk. Wow. I ain't never seen nothing like that. I mean, wow. If you're not excited about starting the game and running through the paper, cause, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, as a kid, in high school, I can remember, you know, being in middle school, and one of the things was, I can't wait to get to high school so I can run through the paper.
That's right. That's the breakout bar, brother.
Yeah. And then, once you get to high school, especially at my high school, my high school at the time, 5A was the highest that Louisiana went, so it was 5A. Now, it's kind of like Alabama, 6, whatever, but my high school is at the top of the class. Football.
Uh-huh.
So naturally, only the seniors get that front row. They're the first ones to be at the paper.
They get the bus to pay.
So, yes. So as a freshman, I'm like, man, I can't wait to be a senior so I can be in the front.
That's right.
You know? So if you don't even
I don't care who goes through.
Give a pot to piss in, to run out the paper. You doggone sure not gonna hit another human being that's trying to destroy you.
Yeah, I don't care who go. I don't care who go first. I don't really care.
Yeah, really. You know, it reminded me, Kingpin, of the story that you were telling me about your the team you coached.
Yeah.
And you know, you got parents that, why Billy isn't doing this and why Billy isn't doing that. They like, they don't even want to be out here.
That's right.
I mean, the only reason why Billy out here is because you making them
that's
be out
right.
here.
Right. Because every time I blow the whistle for the team to come on the field, Billy's still sitting on the bench drinking water. That's why Billy ain't playing.
Yeah. And that's the way this team was. It's like back in Marbury. I'm going to say that was Marbury. Back in Marbury, somebody had half the team's family captive. They're like, you're going to get your ass on that bus, and you're going to go down the bullseye, and you're going to play some damn football.
They're going to win, but you are going to beat it.
Yeah, I don't want to. But I got your sister, and I got, you know, I got a gun to the head. What you gonna do? Oh my God, no way! But okay.
My mama gonna be mad if you shoot her. I'm going.
I mean, it pissed me off. There comes a time, like at my award, 9 times out of 10, at halftime it was over.
Right.
Now, a couple games, I think I said it a couple weeks ago. A couple games. I say about 3 games. We had a bona fide shot to win the game.
Uh-huh.
You know, playing that round of war and you actually going to halftime leading.
Yeah.
You might be on the lead by 3 points.
But it's a lead.
That's a big deal at round of war. So we had legitimate shots to win these games. Well, you know, the coaches have to agree to either a running clock
mm-hmm.
or they'll drop the quarters down from 12 to 8 minutes, which makes a huge difference.
That's right.
And I'm a war, see Leon Day. Hey, let's drop it down to 8, let's run that clock.
Because he ain't want nobody to check anyhow.
Let's get on out of here. Well, this jerk, and I say jerk only because he said, well, I don't want my team to think that I'm giving up on him, so no running clock, full length quarters. Which, I get, hey, I don't want my team to think I'm giving up on.
For 8 more quarters.
Yes. But that's when you, to me, that's when you let your younger guys play. I mean, we got our 9th and 8th grade team out there. Put your younger guys in there so they can kind of start building the foundation. So maybe, you know, in the next couple of years, you can, you know, build the program and build a team. Don't leave your starters out there against 9th and 8th graders. Because to me, that's just like, if you're a boxer, you fight Mike Tyson, you fight Muhammad Ali, you fight Floyd Mayweather, you fight Evander Holyfield, you fight all these players that you get drunk. Then they put the little retarded baby in there, and you beat us on the little retarded baby, and now you think you ain't done something. Oh, you can score 30 points on 8th graders? You think? You know, they talk over there, man. They jumping, they high-fiving, they... I mean, they coaching, boy. They coaching like it's a Super Bowl. We try to keep coaching guys up. We continue to coach. We're coaching 8th graders.
Like, hey, brother, don't get too crunk. That kid right there, yeah, he's still on a multiplication table. So don't be too excited, all right?
Yeah, that kid right there, don't even spell his name correct. And you beating up on him, and you happy. Little sister, what they call it? Little sister, little porn?
Yeah, little sister, little porn. But you know what, Big Dre? A coaching decision like that is the reason why his team sucked, though. Because right. There's never any preparation. And that's why they're like they are.
Us as a coaching staff, we talked about, because you know you try to rationalize and you try not to get pissed off.
Right.
Well,
it's hard.
Can understand. He trying to not, you know, he trying to still believe in his kids. Yeah, we get it. And then we try to rationalize. Well, maybe his child might be on the line, and he needs to at least show that he scored some points to keep his child.
Yeah.
All that's fine and dandy, but I would rather. You give me the courtesy to say, hey, coach, I know we ain't going to win, and I'm going to leave my starters there. I just want to let you know I am going to leave my starters there because I'm trying to keep my job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to me. Tell me something.
Yeah. Okay. We understand. But don't be...
Because right now, what I'm on the sideline thinking is, and my players is, coach, send me back in so we can score 100.
That's what they said. I mean, our starters were getting a little pissed off themselves. They're like, oh, so they're doing this to our...
Yeah,
man, they were getting mad.
They like, so they're going to do that to my little brother?
Yes.
Send me back in, coach. Let's put 100 up. Because all it would have took y'all was sending them back in for one more quarter to get 100.
I mean, I personally have never been a part of the game where we easily could have scored 100 points. I mean, easily. I ain't never seen nothing like that.
I mean, it was
just spectacular. And like I said, we got a good group of kids. We got some good guys. But this, to me, this doesn't show how good we are, how great we are, because that team was just absolutely horrible. They were really horrible.
Wow. That is bananas, dude. So I did want to go down, man. You kind of gloss over. I mean, you guys your mantra has went on to your high school team, and anybody want to get a chance to go out there and check out Big Drake now down at Beauregard High School, man. Your mantra is evident from the scoreboard. Blow them out, leave no doubt. You guys.
No doubt, baby.
68-33 first game, 42-27 second game. Like Silicago was about the only competition all season. I ain't going to say only competition. Silicago was the only team that actually was able to make you guys step you guys up another level. I'm sure every team was competition when they showed up to the actual whistle blew and they realized that they weren't on the same playing field with y'all. 55-6.
My brother who didn't even run out
the paper. That's right. 55-6, 48-0, 43-7, 28-7, 33-7, and then 70-30. And y'all got Russell County coming to the house. No, at Russell County.
Those last four or five scores that you yelled out were you know, the other team just scored 7 points. Once again, that was on our third straight. We went out. This is the only game we put eighth graders in. Because, you know, eighth graders and high schoolers, you kind of don't want to do that. And like I said, I don't know if it's legal. So if it's not legal, that's just going to be the little main man radio. But they literally, which, I mean, we should have had a shutout. But I'm a firm believer that, yes, you want a shutout. You want the goose egg up there. Well, let your younger, I mean, the game is won, but let your younger guys get in there and, you know, get the varsity feel, the varsity spotlight. Even if they do give up 7 and last, like last night, we gave up 30.
Yeah.
But once again, it was on our first.
You want a shutout, but more importantly, what you want more than a shutout is you want a legacy. So you want a dynasty to start. And the way you get a dynasty to start is for an eighth grader to be able to play against a starter on another team and still hold their own. They may not shut them out, but they hold their own. And when your eighth grader can hold their own against a senior on the other side of the football field, you get ready to start a dynasty, bro. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're preparing yourself for the future and today. So I think you guys are building the right mentality right there by doing that. So
we really got some good kids though.
Coach of Mulberry High School, go jump off two bridges, brother. It don't make no sense that this is. But it's okay. We understand. If you needed your job, you should have told somebody though.
Yeah, I mean, I really, and I had to check myself. I'm like, Drake, you're not acting up being a guy, but. Because I'm like, I don't even want to shake their hand.
The coaching staff, not, you know, the kids. The coaching staff.
Yeah, the coaching staff, not the kids. I mean, they, you know, come on.
They doing what they told to do.
I didn't want to shake their hands because I get everything. Communicate with us, and he's let them other kids play a little bit. I mean, when I say he kept the starters in the entire time, he kept the starters in the entire time.
Wow.
Let some other kids play. I mean, I would have been cool with, hey, we're gonna not run the clock. We're gonna have full in quarters, but I'm gonna let my young guys get some reps.
Yeah, because I want to get some game experience for my young kids.
Cool, I get it.
We'll put all our eighth graders in too, Coach. Let's get that would have actually been another good game. Well, probably not, but.
Probably not
because your eighth graders held their own with his varsity. I mean, with his starters. So your eighth graders probably would have blown out his second street.
And from what I understand, Russell Comet is worse than they are, which I don't think he can be worse than they are.
Oh. So that's bad. Well, look, like, at least y'all get to coast into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you never want to overlook somebody, and I want to take every opponent serious.
Yeah.
But, you know, every Sunday, you know, we meet up, we usually watch our film, our opponent's film, that we come up with a game plan, the rules, the calls. Because sometimes you have the same call, but you want to do something a little different.
Yeah, because you
want to go over all that stuff.
You want to buy read the calls.
Like Sunday, instead of preparing for Russell County, and forgive me, people, I can't remember the name of the team that's projected to be our first round playoff game.
Uh-huh.
We're going to watch them on them. We're not going to even watch them on Russell County.
Russell County won a game?
Which I would prefer. Let's watch a little film on Russell County. Let's still talk about it.
Yeah, let's watch a half. Let's watch a half, maybe, on Russell County.
Let's talk about it, but we're going to prepare for our first round playoff game.
Hey, he got the confidence level. But
and you know, listen, I mean, I've had a very decent football coaching career, but it's been up and down. You know, starting off with the Predators, we go 12-1. Don't lose a game until we get to the playoffs. Don't lose a game until we get to the game right before the championship and lose that game. Then I go to a high school and don't win that near game.
Not now.
Not now. No, I ain't win that. The Lord didn't allow me to win that next game. Then, I go to another semi-pro team. We go 8-0. We're the home team in the championship. Some foolishness happened. We can kick down the league where we get a chance to play the championship.
Yep, for the game.
Yeah, that's foolishness. Then I go to another high school, and we put 70 up on.
That's crazy.
I'm afraid if I get my first coaching job, it'll be 3 years before I get a win.
That's right. Your first coaching job is going to be at I don't even care. or Vanderbilt.
Yeah, sure. But you know what? If Vandy, I'd take it gladly.
I was going to say, but you take that check. Vanderbilt, yeah, leave no doubt, Quasi Drake will take that check.
Yes.
If you listen, he will take that check.
For Commodores.
Yeah. So I will like to announce to the Made Me a Radio Show that the Mighty Mites of the Green, Green Brown Mighty Mites did get their first W last week.
Oh, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, bro. Man. We got our first W. So that is an indication of just how garbage the other team was.
Hey, no, don't say you can't show up, man.
Hey, no.
Did you take them off a pizza afterwards?
No, I couldn't. But they were excited, dude. I mean, brother, you know. But I'm a softy too. But in that post game, kind of, I teared up a little bit. I had to keep my glasses on.
Because
I was proud of them, man. Proud of them, bro. So with the other team was garbage. I mean, they literally had 13 players. They technically they forfeited the game because you have to have 16 to play. But we played the game anyway. We didn't tell our boys they had to forfeit the game. But they they had 13 or 14 players. They had three subs on the bench. I mean, they couldn't. But you know what? Here's my thing, Big Drake. Their coaching was horrible. All right.
Yeah.
So the coach come out here on offense. I coach defense. So, and you can have a coach on the field. So I'm getting my defense set up. Now, the first game we played, we had problems. People didn't know they were supposed to be out on kicking team. People didn't know they were supposed to be out kickoff return. And that's on us. If you don't know your positions, we quickly corrected that. Offensive team knew. They knew if they was out there, they knew where to be, but they didn't know if they supposed to be out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we solved all that. But when the players came out there, they knew where to get. They knew what the plays were, all this. Brother, we get out there. Literally, the first series they get the ball, I think they started out on defense. They started out with the ball. No, we started the ball. We scored. I'm trying to think, did we score? We may not score, but my defense came out. And so they set up on offense, and literally, brother, he is setting the lineup as they're out there. Now, I don't know if this is because they typically have a much bigger team, and just nobody chose to show up today, or he's trying to piece people in, but literally nobody on the team other than the running back knows where to be. So he's setting up. He has like six on one side of the football on the offensive line and like one person on the other side. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh,
it is crazy. And then he runs. The way they do their offense, they let the offensive line just go to the line, and he only calls the plays with the backs. I'm like, okay, so I can expect that the line would never block me in the direction to keep me out of play because they don't know what the play is. And there's another thing. I know they're going to run the ball because obviously if they was passing, they tell the linemen, they know that, so they know not to block downfield. All right, so a lot of things just got given away based on how you just set these boys up. And then he got what I thought was a quarterback. I guess he played quarterback. It's really a wildcat because that kid was only the runner. You got three backs in the backfield. I just say that. I got three backs in the backfield and everybody else on the line. I think he had to have one off, but I don't even know if that kid did that correctly or not. And so, now, mind you, this is the first game that I realized, after having realized a couple weeks ago, that we can blitz. So, I'm Bill Belichick on Saturday. I've got defense schemes lined up. I'm doing the gunshot at my corners, telling them to go. I'm sending blitzes from everywhere. This is the first game I'm going to go off, and my defense did. They went off. Literally, I probably estimate, Big Drake, we had probably 10 or 11 tackles for losses in that game. Now, this comes from people that's never had a tackle for loss. I mean, because we blitzing them, and the line can't block us. I mean, they literally. I got one kid. He's an older kid now, and he's been playing offensive lineman the whole time. He's one of the kids that when we first came out, he was like, "I don't want to play offense," and I was actually kind of pissed at him. And now that I put him on defense, I'm like, "Oh yeah, I should never had you playing offense anyway." I mean, he is unblockable. Against our deep offensive line, he's unblockable. So I knew they couldn't block him. So their quarterback is the only one that can run the ball. period. He don't. I think he manhandled off twice, three times tops, but every time he handed the ball off. Big white kid. But now I'll tell you this. He scored three touchdowns on me because if we didn't hit him in the backfield, you could cancel Christmas. If you did not hit him in the backfield, you could catch. If he ever took that step and turned up field, that was all she wrote. Because he was big, he bounced off of, he'd bowl over two or three, and he outrun the rest. So, so he had that beast mode on him. If he ever got to the outside on me, I mean, literally, in four or five times, I mean, the three he did, we had all three of them. I hit him in the backfield. We didn't wrap up and take him down. And then my outside linebacker hit him about four yards deep. But by that turn, he's already shifting upfield. And after that outside linebacker, when both them toes got headed towards the end zone, I just gonna start walking up there and get set up for extra point. It's a wrap play going to the end zone. But I'll tell you why I really was proud of the boys, man. Because it came down to so again, we came down. So we up at half. First time we ever up at half. So we up, I think he scored one touchdown, so it was six. We scored two with the extra point, so we had 13-6 at halftime. And so at halftime, my boys doing the nay-nay, listening to the music, all that. I said, all right. I said, oh, y'all super hype, huh? I said, you know that we only up by a touchdown, right? These boys could come right back. We come out on the field. First play, they get the ball. They get the ball on the first series. He scored a touchdown. We down. We up by one. We go. We get the ball. We fumble on offense. They get the ball. Score a touchdown. I said, oh no, nay now. I said, you're down by a touchdown. Now nay. You take your focus off the football game. And so it came down. So we sitting there down by six, down by five, and all the way to a minute and 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And so we got the ball, and then I called a quarterback sneak. My quarterback take it to the house, and then we got to kick off to him, and it's about like 40 seconds or something left in the game, and we're up by 1 point. And 1 point. And they got big number 18, the quarterback, sitting in the middle of the kickoff team. I'm like, oh my God. So I tell my kicker, like, don't kick it 18. Don't kick it 18. But then I start thinking, I'm like, if I'm telling him how to try to kick it, he gonna mess around and try to avoid 18 and screw it up altogether.
Yeah, kick it right to him.
That's right. So I'm like, I said, don't worry about it. Just kick, do your normal thing. He kicks it. He kicks it hard enough. He hits the front lineman, and it bounces off of him. And like I said, nobody else on their team is really that good. And so then we go. He goes and recovers the fumble. The kicker goes and recovers the kick. So we end up getting an onside kick. And then even then, we still, because the coach on the field was like, should we kneel it? I was like, no, don't kneel it. Give it to the fullback. Because they still had two timeouts. So literally, man, we had to coach all the way down to the last play, man. I was just super excited, man, that my boys pulled off. They fought hard. They fought through it. Every kid, we didn't have a lot of people show up either. So we literally only had 20 kids show up. We typically got 28. So everybody played the whole game on either offense or defense. And they usually, when you hit your 10 plays, there's a couple players. Once you hit your 10 plays, you're coming off the field. No questions asked. But let me tell you, in this, you know, we have a really short window, and people only go get a snippet of college football. It's okay though. But we had a coaches a parent meeting this week, because so this is what I hate the league I'm in. I'll never play in this league again. I've told them to their face I hate their league and I'll never play here again. My son will play football, but it will never be on this team again because they are horrible with communication. And so I thought, so we missed the game because of rain on October 3rd. And it was against this team called South Augusta. And so we was going to have to make up this game. Well, a couple weeks ago, they was told us the makeup game is going to be October 31st. I'm like, that's stupid. Who wants to play on Halloween? And then I heard rumors it's going to be on this Saturday. And I'm like, okay. And then they didn't know what time, they didn't know where the game was. So Saturday, and I thought that was our last game. So Saturday after the game, many of the parents, and I agreed, me and other coaches agreed kind of. I was like, I don't want to play again. I don't want to play the makeup game against South Augusta. South Augusta's undefeated. South Augusta's the only team in South Augusta. So they get to recruit all the goons. So we have to play for the high school with zone four. They're the only team in Richmond County. Richmond County is where all the hood schools are. So any kid from any area can play on that one team. It's like a travel ball team. I'm like, this is the only victory my kids done got. I don't want it to end the season with a demoralized victory blowout against South Augusta. If that's the only game and it's a makeup game, that's right. If that's the only game and it's a makeup game and South Augusta gonna go on to the playoffs anyhow, I don't want to play the game. And most of the parents are like that, too. Anyway, this caused a big stink because come to find out, we have another game. They set up a playoff system, so we'll play the number six team. It's only eight teams. The top six get in get a playoff game. It's not a real playoff, but they get an extra game. So we're going to play the fifth, and we're going to play like we're the sixth team. We're going to play the fifth team or whatever. I didn't know we had this game. So we had to have a parent meeting to see whether or not they really wanted to play. And there was a whole lot of stuff came up because people said, the coach said, we just going to forfeit the rest of the season. And this other coach was irate because he said he didn't know nothing about it because he wasn't there Saturday and blah, blah, blah. Just a whole lot of drama came up Saturday. And then then the parent meeting wanted to pay. They let the parents start. So all these frustrated parents just complainers. And so one mama gonna ask this question: how many plays is every player supposed to play? Now she's asking to the commissioner of the league, because I'm standing there and I'm sitting there quietly saying 10. They're like, I think it's 8. Somebody said 12. I'm saying 10. It's 10. I know, because I have to deal with this every Saturday. I'm sitting there and doing NPR every single Saturday to make sure all these kids get at least 10 plays. We had one game in the first game of the season where we had somebody that didn't get his 10 snaps. That's the only time we didn't have it didn't happen. Every time else we did it. And I know who she is. She is the kid. She is the mama of the boy that does not want to be out here on football. Big drink. And I couldn't say it. I wanted to tell her. She going to say, I know Chris. I know my son's not that good because he's small. No, it's not because he's small, ma'am. It's not because he's small. He doesn't want to be here. That's why it is. He doesn't want to be here. Big Drake. So he got a chance to play every snap Saturday, right, on defense. She said, he said, Coach, Coach me. He loved you Saturday because he played every. He loved it. Big Drake, when I tell you, so. I'm the coach on the field. I usually stand behind my safeties. Every snap. This kid who I have at defensive guard playing against a line that doesn't even know where they're supposed to line up. Every snap. At the end of the play when the whistle blow, he's standing behind me.
Oh, wow.
Every snap, Drake. He is blocked all the way back behind me.
Wow.
Every snap. The coach on the sideline said, hey, what Chris doing? I said, he's standing behind me after every play. Every play. Every single play.
Every he play. Agrees.
Yeah.
He happy.
He's getting
he
greased every time. Play. Now, again, every player coming out, you playing every – if you're on offense, you playing every player offense. And you're on defense, you play every player defense. Every time I bring the defense come out the field, I got a call for him to come on the field. Every single series. Where's Chris? Where's Chris? Where's Chris? Every series. And then you going to stand here at this meeting and ask about the minimum play rules? Ma'am, I wish you'd just let him quit. I really do. It'd be so much easier if you just let him quit. There would be no loss whatsoever if you let him quit.
Well, Chris, he's
that kid. He's that kid. No, you know he won't quit because why he likes coming out there, Quay? Because literally, what? I'm watching him. I think I caught a glimpse of him playing patty cake with the other kid on the team. Yeah. I mean, they just laughing and giggling. I mean,
he's either gonna murder his parents, or he's gonna go from Chris to Crystal.
Yes.
So he have a whore. I don't know.
It's hard.
I do believe that you have to push your kids a little bit at least make them at least do something, some extracurricular activity. Because when I was growing up, you know, my dad was like, look, it's summertime, you're not going to sit around here and do nothing all summer. I'm going to make you play basketball. I don't want to play basketball. Of course, once I got out there, I love sports. You know, sometimes kids need encouragement, but there's always a but, you know what I mean? When a kid going out there, especially something physical like football, I mean, that can really mess with a kid's psyche.
It can.
Kids be blocked behind the coach every play. You don't want to be out there, and really all you want to do is play patty cake with everybody. Maybe, you know, give them some violin lessons, some clarinet lessons or something.
Well, and this the other thing I wanted to say at the meeting. I literally had to end up, when they started fussing and complaining like they was, I literally decided, you know, I'm going to go back out on the field and finish coaching now, because I'm going to say something I'm probably going to regret if I keep
saying. Yeah.
Because here's the other thing I wanted to say. I'm like, okay, so I understand your concern, because you paid your money, you want your son to play.
Yeah.
But consider this. So if I put your kid, because I got a couple players I cannot put on offense. I cannot put you on offense. Because say I put your son on offense to try to get his snaps in. And because your son doesn't want to play, or he doesn't, or this is all playtime for him, and the kid lined up on the other side of the ball trying to snap somebody's head off their shoulders, literally, and your son mess around getting one of these other parents' sons' head snatched off their body, then what we gonna say? Then what we gonna say? Is you gonna do the eulogy? I'm just trying to ask. Who's gonna do the eulogy? So, I mean, you gotta keep this in perspective, that to your point, we are playing a physical sport here. This isn't basketball. It isn't baseball. This is something where you got very well, because we played a couple teams this season where there's a couple players on the other side, they were like Tiny. They wanted to snatch somebody's head off and piss down their neck. So, I don't want your kid being the person standing in the way of, he wanted to snatch my running back's head off and piss down his neck. So, you tell me what you want me to do.
So this is literally a game that will put you in a wheelchair.
It is. So, it is, Big Drake.
Don't you get to be in a wheelchair?
And I want to poll the rest of the parents and say, everybody comes to practice. Y'all see our practice. Who is willing to let their son run behind Chris's blocking? Is he raising their hand? Who is willing to let Chris block for their kid? Nobody. Oh, okay. I mean,
I'm calling Chris Crystal from here on out.
Hey, at practice yesterday, not yesterday, day before yesterday, Big Drake, we called a play. I got Chris in a D guard. Running back takes off far right. He cuts back through the hole. The hole is standing there. There's about a 4-yard hole right there, or maybe 3 yards, between where my outside linebacker is and where Chris is standing up at now. Note I said just standing there. Literally, the running back runs. He runs in front of Chris to the point to where the left side of his shoulder pads hits Chris' face mask as Chris is standing there. Chris never makes a move toward the kid, ever. He just stands there. He doesn't attempt to tackle. He doesn't attempt to touch him. He doesn't attempt to do anything. I had to catch myself from snatching him off the field.
Do you think it's just the simple fact that he just really has no desire whatsoever to be out there?
Drake, this is playtime. The only reason he is willing to show up is because it's playtime. He gets to play with friends. That's it. He gets to play with friends. And not play in a rough way. Just play.
Yeah.
Whoever lines up on Chris, they know they're going to get the shine on offense. They're going to look like the blocker of the year on offense. Anybody that lines up against his. Every play, he stands behind me. He gets blocked behind me. And then, so I told him, I said, sometimes I try to coach him. And I'm like, you know, don't worry about it. I'm not going to waste my energy. But
when you start coaching a player, that's the thing that
you get blocked by.
My hand
is
waste my breath.
That's it. I was like, hey, Chris, get out in the 4-point stance. Try to do your back crawl through that. You got to, hey, coach, I play better out of 3-point. No, you don't. No, no, you don't. No, you don't. I'm telling you, you don't. You don't. So, yeah, man. You know the only time Chris balls out? This going to sound harsh, y'all. Big Drake, you know the only time Chris balls out? When we are in positional drills, Chris balls out when I put him against the kid that got one leg.
So he balls out kind of like
Marbury. But Big Drake, let me tell you this. There have been numerous occasions when the kid with one leg has beaten Chris. Numerous occasions when the kid with one leg has beaten Chris. The kid with one leg has 400 times more hard than Chris. My kid with one leg is a starter on my defense. Like when my true starters, so he may not start the game because I got to get some MPRs in there. But when I put my final defense out there, my kid one leg is my starter. He played defensive guard. That kid has more heart than anybody I've ever seen.
So do you think Crystal gets excited when he goes against this one legged person?
Yeah, he thinks.
Okay, I got the advantage, so I'm gonna grease him up right quick.
And the kid with the one leg, I don't know if it's because that one leg is metal and it doesn't bend and he got a little leverage advantage, but the kid with one leg, the reason why I put him at defense guard, you can't move him. You cannot move him. Now, you make it tip him over, but you cannot move him. When he sticks that leg back, he can't be moved, bro.
I don't know because it's metal, you cannot bend.
You can't move it. When he sticks that one leg in the ground and he put his other good leg up, no, you can't move it.
Oh my goodness. Oh boy. This show always starts off good and just goes horribly wrong. And I was talking about the
My one leg hit is the best. It was the best line that I got because he can't be moved, brother. I'm just saying. It's like that gospel song, like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. A long time because his dad has a shoe on it and they put a sock on it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you could tell if you look, but if you were another player out on the field, you probably wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah.
So, I had him out there on defense.
Because he's going to get the one leg.
He was in there on the tackle, right? So, he had the bottom pile. He done made the tackle and he fell back off down with the tackle. And the coach... His coach said, "Hold up, stop, get up, because he thinks this kid has broke a leg. This is stupid." And he's like, "Yeah, you know what I'm saying?" "Oh, no, he's good. That's his prosthetic. It's been bad." Brother, that coach was me. But hold on. I love Owen as my kid, man. I love Owen, man. For one, because of his heart. He will not quit on me, man. I don't care how hard his leg is hurting or whatever. Owen doesn't quit. But look, Owen, so yesterday... No, Thursday at practice, they piled up on somebody. All right, somebody just came in and dove. I think it was Zach dove in on the freaking pile. And I was standing, I was like, "Yo, don't dive in on somebody." And they was laying on somebody's leg. I said, "You could break somebody's leg." Owen said, "Yeah, like me." Oh my God. It took everything I had. I just dropped my head and looked at him. He was just laughing and grinning. And I'm like, "Owen, Man, I love you, man. I love you to death, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good spirit to have, man. You got a good spirit.
Oh, my God. That kid, man. I love that kid to death, man. He don't quit, man. He said, yeah, like me. Like.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's so Chris funny. Gets greased even lots of times by Owen, the one-legger.
I'm going to ask you this now. You know, is Chris parent or parent? Is the parent or parent, is there a woman and a father, or is it the mom out there?
I think she's a mix.
She's a what?
She's a mix. She's a both. I think she's a woman because I think she has breasts. But yeah, she very much looks like a dude.
Come on,
I'm serious. So I don't know if there's a father. I don't. I really don't. I really don't know if there's a father. Yes, there is a father. I think there is a father. Yeah, but I don't know what his role is because the mama like a mother and the father.
Yeah, is the father involved?
Yeah, because I think he showed up to pick Chris up for practice one day.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. somebody I know works with her or something. They said they call her Dirty Judy. I don't know what Dirty Judy means, but literally, she always looks like she just rolled away from up under a 57. she just rolled away from up under a 57 Chevy Bel Air, changing the alternator.
Oh, wow.
She got a mullet.
Yeah, she got a mullet?
She has a mullet.
She like Dirt Joe.
She like Dirt Joe. That's what they call her. Dirt Joe. That's what they call her. Dirt Joe.
Dirt Joe.
Dirt Joe. He said they call her Dirt Joe at work.
Oh, brother, we are so hard. We oh, man.
Yeah.
We start off good, and then we just... I mean, it's like a roller coaster. We start that uphill climb. We're doing good. We're being positive, and then we just fall off a cliff. We just go straight down.
So Mike Perry said, "All right." King Ben, I've gotten through like the first three shows, and so what's going on with y'all this season?
Yeah, man, it used to be this way, but this year, just we got back on the air. Oh, man, we just been...
Hey, and you know what I said? I said, hey, have you gotten to the show that we taped at the Humidor's house? He said, no, I don't think so. I said, oh, it gets worse then. I said, it gets a whole lot worse.
Oh, boy. That show was so good, I'm listening to it a couple times.
Yeah, I told her. I said, it gets worse. I said, you want to listen to that one. I said...
and you know, when the humor, though, was talking about Leonard Fournette, he was like, oh, just two pills a day, boss? That might work to be, boss.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's too fast.
And like with
them
boss.
I'm like with them boss. Oh, man,
that's
hilarious.
Yeah, that's what I told Mike. I said, man, it gets a whole lot worse. I said, yeah. I said, that show, I said, I don't know that we stayed on topic the entire show. I said, every show went down a rabbit hole. I said, it got real bad ones. I said, that show, you're going to hear everything. I said, of course, you're going to hear at the end, you're going to hear Jesus. I said, you start off with gospel music. I said, but from that point in the middle, you go to prostitution. I said, we go from fog.
Yeah.
You go to slavery. You go to Django.
Oh, man, that was a remarkable show on many levels.
Classic.
This show here, it started off good, but once again, we started off positive, then we went to crippled kids, and cross-dressing kids, and a woman who might be a man, who changes alternators, and they think him is Joe Dirt.
Oh, man. It's okay. All right. So, Big Drake. All right. Let's go. So we very well may only get to talk about one game. And guys, the only reason why you'll catch the second half, it just may have to be, it'll be taped probably at a different date. Because, like I said, Big Drake's traveling. I end up having a meeting or two today that I got to end up getting to that I forgot about. But, So I told you we was going to get two SEC victories. All right, we picked up one against Kentucky. What did you see, man? Did you get a chance to watch it? What you think?
Yeah, I thought quarterback played real well.
I will say this. I hate his throwing motion.
Yeah, it reminds me of the way he cocks back like Tim Tebow. It goes slow.
Yeah, it's a long throwing motion. And yeah. Somebody said this. They wonder if he wasn't trying to, because, you know, they had to, they opened that competition back up, and whether or not, based on that competition, he was trying to show that he can throw the ball just as hard as Jeremy Johnson. Because it looked like he was overthrowing. I mean, you know, he was giving everything he got to chunk it every time. Because, I mean, literally, he'd end up looking at the ground he was throwing so hard. And so I wonder, was that overcompensation trying to emulate or get as much velocity or power as Jeremy Johnson's arm has on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, it works for him.
Yeah.
And if we can just get our wide receivers to catch the ball most of the time.
Yeah, everybody other than Ricardo Lewis, because Ricardo Lewis came to play football.
We'll have a series where, I mean, we'll catch that thing between our legs, behind our back. And then, like, the next four passes, we'll just let the ball beat our hands up.
That's right. Inconsistency. Inconsistency. Okay. They are inconsistent.
Yeah. And then this week, I mean, not this week, that week, but just touch. I mean, our line, especially the defensive line, I mean, I knew it was soft, but Kentucky, I mean, our offensive line, I mean, defensive line was very, very, very soft.
Yeah. To me, it's quite evident now that the play of Carl Lawson's elevates everybody else. And without him being on the field, there appears to be no person on the defensive line who's able to captain or champion that defense that makes everybody else play better.
Hey, not even Montrezl Adams. I thought he was going to be, have a stellar year. But he
kind of
just didn't
bust
it away, you know?
Montrevious is the epitome of who was that last year that came? I mean, we had last year, and when he came in, he rolled a hair that had Nick Who, and we thought, oh, this boy finna be the beast.
Yeah.
What was his name? I can't think his name. But Montrevious plays like him to me. You'll have a couple plays you watch him, and he is, you know, he's all pro. And then and then he takes 17 plays off. And I could block him. You know what I'm saying?
I don't get it. But you know, that game, it gave me a little hope for offensively.
It did for 2.5 quarters. That's the other part that troubles me. So first and second quarter we play balling, and then we come out of halftime, it's like, who is this team?
Dude, you know, ever since, for whatever reason, ever since Miles on us, but now our third quarter, and we're up by 20, it's going to be tied up going in the fourth quarter. We going I mean, our third quarter is like technically the worst in history ever since Miles on has been there. I don't know what goes on. I read it out.
He must be the worst halftime speech giver ever in life. I don't know what he does. I don't know if halftime when he brings the strippers in or what happens, but something happens in that locker room at halftime that it's demasculating, man.
Dude, you said strippers, you made me think of Louisville.
Yes!
On my way down here, I was listening to ESPN Radio, and then they had the girl who wrote the book and talking about all the sexual favors.
Yeah.
And, she's gone into detail what happened. And, you know, that makes me think, you know, it's when you come in halftime, you come in the locker room. I mean, it's just a strip club.
That's it's set out.
Yeah, it's just women naked and the, you know, little DJ booth and liquor being served and everybody, you know.
Liquor pouring shots.
You know, they're passing out stacks of wands and stuff. And that's the way they come out for that third quarter. Like, shit, I just got pregnant.
That's what I'm saying, dog. I mean, literally, I'm watching. I'm like, what did they do at halftime? You know what I'm saying? Because we don't come back out, man. And then, like, say, somewhere around the mid-fourth quarter, we'd be like, oh, crap, we're still playing football.
Yeah, outside the locker room, it's that players' club, and people think that's, like, that's for the players. But, like, no, that's, like, the players' club, like, strip club, the players' club. Right. And you got diamonds. You got diamonds. Bugger
naked.
On the pole. Sure, of course, you ain't ready to come out and play no damn football after that.
Yeah, bro. I really don't understand it, man. I mean, they're horrible. I mean, they come back. That second half is horrible. And that's consistent now.
Well, the fourth quarter, it seemed like, I've said this in the past, because, you know, this has been a thing for Gus.
Yep.
That third quarter is like he's a newborn baby. He's trying to open up his eyes. And he just picking plays. You know, out the crack of his butt.
Yes.
And then that fourth quarter, it's like, okay. I just kind of wanted to see if that would work. That's not going to work, so I'm going to go back to what I know. And then, pull it out.
Third quarter, yeah. Experimental quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. And, you know, the little coaching experience that I have, you know, at halftime, you know, that's all you talk about is let's go over the plays they did that worked on us. What do we need to do? Do we need to make a different call? I mean, you have to assume that they're doing that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You got to assume it's going, they're talking about adjustment. And then once they come out, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, I'm off the words, right?
And you know, I've said this a couple times. There are certain things I see big elements of a high school coach in Gus. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean that in a good way either. Meaning he is mature enough as a coach to be coaching at this level. And that's one of them is we suck at adjustments. To me, if anything, it seems as if he goes into halftime saying, hey, what worked? All right, great. We ain't got to do that no more. It already worked. Let's try something different.
Yeah.
That's not how game plan go. And the other one is he's scared of success. If we're doing if we're balling out too hard, he will pull up on the gas because he's afraid of making mistakes.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny. It's funny you say that because I'm gonna say his name, dog. I mean, you've heard me say his name, boy, a secret. But you know, I don't want people to look at him that way. Wayne Dick.
Yep.
From the very get go, from when he was hired, he has always said, "Why are we hiring this high school coach?"
Hey,
and I'm like, dude, he's paid his dues. You know, he's been at Arkansas, Vito. He's been here. He's paid his dues. He's not a high school coach. He's like. You know, he is a high school coach. He has a high school mentality.
Yep.
And, of course, once the struggles happen, you know, every time we get together and walk, you're like, you're a high school coach, man. He has a great offensive mind. He does this. Then, of course, like, we're having this because he starts pointing out things. They say, dude, this is stuff that high school coaches mess up on.
Right.
But, you know, from the get-go, because, you know, when I talk to other people about it, like, oh, he's just saying that because he's struggling right now. From the day Gus got hired, he was saying we should be hiring the high school coach.
I think Gus will always have us in contention, and we could win. We could win. He has to have the right other supporting cast around him. But there are elements of him. I still contend there is no way we should not have won a national championship when I flew out to California. No way. No way we should not have beat Florida State. Florida State was the better team. Well, Big Drake, that one again, it was going into the third. I remind you, and I said this after that time, and I always point, this is my main high school coach moment I point back to. So, we screw up. We don't play side. They score on a trick play of, I think it was a, they did, they went for it on fourth down. It was something screwy they did, and they got the momentum, right?
They went for it on fourth down. They did like a big punt or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So here it is. So they score. Second quarter, there is a minute and 31 seconds left to go. They score. Momentum's good. Their team's hype, and they got the fans up. All right, minute and 31 seconds left to go. Gus Malzahn calls three straight dive plays to run the clock out and end the quarter, in the half. We had the most explosive offense in Western College football, and you got 91 seconds, and you do not try to get and not don't not and not to negate also one of the best kickers in college football, who is consistent beyond 50, and you choose not to go 91 for 91 seconds. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we went to the half with two timeouts in the hole. Yeah. We had one or two. So 91 seconds, and you don't try to get down to try to score one more time and get momentum back before going to the half, that's because you're scared. You just got shook off of somebody else doing something good. And you scared, we better cool chill because we at least up. That's a high school coaching move, man. That's a high school coach move. That's not a killer mentality. And I'm sorry, I still point back to that moment. That moment right there was defining moment in that game. Because had we went back down and at least got a field goal, we would have sucked momentum back from, we would have sucked their heart back from them. And we wouldn't have came back out to halftime. But when they came back halftime like that, after we took three kneels pretty much, they like, we finna blow these boys out now. We gave them everything they needed, man. So he has to close that gap, man. He has to close that gap if he expects for us to continue to be successful, man. Has to. But I was glad against Kentucky, and I'll go on record and say this, and we talked about this a little bit this season. There is no team other than Alabama that I want to beat more than Arkansas today. I hate Arkansas. But
I don't mean negative fancy this year or what, but I mean Kentucky.
Yep.
You know, even though Kentucky was supposed to do whatever, I mean Arkansas was supposed to do whatever this year.
Yeah.
I'm just all the teams that have beaten Arkansas have been more physical than them to a certain degree. And the Toledo team, I want to say, Arkansas could have beaten them, but for whatever reason, they went away from running the ball. And I think Bielema, for whatever reason, he will try to outbeat you at what you're good at instead of, hey, I'm good at running the ball. I got a million pounds on offensive line. I'm just going to run it.
Yep.
But when he plays a team, like he did us last year, you know, we're going to the half 21, you know, knotted up, 21 up, and, you know, we're a passing team.
Yeah.
Well, I don't say we're a passing team. When Jeremy Johnson was playing that first half, we became a passing team.
That's right.
You know, Jeremy Johnson looked pretty good. So it was like, here's my, hey, we're not going to be able to keep up with them scoring as fast as they're scoring. It's taking us 9 and 10 minutes to score. We're not going to be able to do that the whole time because they're scoring in 2 minutes. We just start throwing the ball.
Right.
Well, kind of the same thing happened against Toledo. Toledo is more of a passing team. So if they would have continued to run the ball and wore Toledo down, I think they could have won. But they're like, okay, we do have a decent quarterback, which I think they do have I like him.
Allen?
Yeah. They made him throw so much, he ended up throwing for 300 yards, which is great. But is it good enough when you throw for 300 yards to do it? I'd rather throw for 125, let my running backs collectively run for 300 yards and win. And I think that's his little hiccup sometimes. When he goes against teams that are spectacular in the thing that he doesn't do well, like that, but he's a running team. He tries to do what they do, then it all goes downhill. And my wife and I, we watched it one of the last games. It might have been a Toledo game, but it was somebody that they should have beat, they lost. And one of their players, I have no idea who it was, he was passing by one of the ESPN dudes that was getting ready to interview the other winning coach. And you just, and it's probably not going to sound the same by me saying it, but you can just hear the hurt and the disgust in his heart. The dude was like, God, we suck. I mean, it went like, man,
it was a deep down emotion.
Yeah, at that moment, after all the hype that they're supposed to be this, they're supposed to be that, contention for SEC West title, and it's just like, we suck. No, we're not good. No, we're not having the year we want. that things are not going our way. We suck. He like, God, we suck. And me and my wife just fell out and laughed. We felt his pain. And he do suck. But.
Because he doesn't play his game. He doesn't play his game. He doesn't have the confidence in what he does. I always allude back to Nick Saban has never let anybody not make him play his game. If you're going to beat him, you'll get the game you play is going to be better than the game he play. But he's never going to make you not play his game. That's going to be his problem. That's why he probably, they probably going to get rid of Lane Kiffin. Because it's a little bit too uncomfortable for him because it's not his game.
Yeah.
He's like, this ain't really how I like to play football.
And I'm starting to agree with the humor, though. This is probably Lane Kiffin last year.
Yeah. He's gone. It's a wrap. Yeah. You can see times when Nick's over there, and I've seen plays where Nick's vetoed. Like, nope, that's not what you're going to run. Nope, sure ain't finna run that. Nope, 23 dive. Nope, ain't finna run that one. You know, but you know what, Big Drake, and and here's the difference in to me, all this. So I'll give you another person that people may refer to him as a high school coach, but I'm gonna tell you the big difference in him and Gus Malzahn, and that's Cliff Kingsbury, the coach of Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Youngest coach in college, he probably ain't now, but was when he picked up. You know, he's younger than Gus, right? Tell you the difference in Cliff. Cliff has gotten blowed out in some games. You know why Cliff has gotten blowed out in some games? Because Cliff is going for broke no matter what. He has never changed his offense. He don't care if you beat him by 800. He is still going to throw it. His quarterback may throw 17 picks. Guess what? He calling the pass play deep the next play. But you know what? If he ever gets the talent he needs to run his offense, he is going to look like Baylor. He going to blow somebody off the field. But he is going to live and die with what he does.
Texas State beat Arkansas this year.
Yeah, because he doesn't care. He's going to play his football game.
Yeah, be true to who you are.
Yes. If Gus Malzahn had testicular fortitude as Kingsbury, dude, we'd be a whole lot better. We really would be a whole lot better. You know what I'm saying? Just don't get scared of what you do well.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference to me of that kid right there, and the record doesn't reflect it, but I see if Kingsbury were to go to like a Florida, right now there's just literally too many great teams in Texas for you to get the talent. I mean, there really is. It's just too many teams. I mean, you got TCU, you got Texas, which Texas had a great team, and it's still a program that's far superior to yours. You got TCU, you got Texas, you got Baylor, you know what I'm saying? You got Texas A&M. There's way too many teams that do the same thing you do for him to get the talent. If you put a kid, Kingsbury, I think, am I pronouncing right? Is it Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, it's Cliff Kingsbury.
If you put him.
Before he got
Texas A&M, right?
Yeah.
If you put him at a Florida. Or, you know what I'm saying? One of these other teams is finna get that. Well, Florida ain't gonna fire theirs now. But if you were to put him around, a program where you ain't got a leech for talent and you ain't got to fight for talent being the fifth best school in Texas fighting for talent and going to where you the only show in town, dude, perfect gig. You put Kingsbury at USC, USC wins a national championship in 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, because he has that talent.
That might be a good look.
You put that kid at USC, where you just got rid of a Cloud Niner, you win. You're in the championship in 3 years, man. I mean, because he is a gunslinger, and if he got the talent around, he's not afraid of what he does, man. I don't know, man. That's my struggle. All right, Big Drake, real quick, man. Because again, I'm showing up to the meeting 30 minutes late. That'd be okay. I don't run this group. I do want to come back though on the second episode and talk through some of the other games and pick up a little NFL. But I want to go on. Let's get our picks in if we can on this show, on this segment right here. All right, Clemson, Miami. What you got, man?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I go with Dabo.
Well,
because Al Golden is probably on his way out.
At Miami?
Yeah, he's probably done.
I'll say this. 4 weeks ago, I was talking at work. A couple of my employees went to Clemson. I told them, I said, the one game when I look at your schedule that I think Clemson is going to get beat in by losing some. Dabo does this every year. He loses somebody he ain't supposed to lose to. I said, if I pick one team you're going to lose to that you ain't supposed to lose to, is Miami. I said, I just don't know why. Ain't no rationale behind it other than the fact of Dabo's always going to lose to somebody he's not supposed to lose to. And Miami is always one of those teams that if you willing to lose to me, I'll beat you. You remember the year they almost beat Florida State? Florida State had a great year. They had lost like 2-3 games already. And Miami just seems to always be that team that if you want to give up one, we'll take it. So, I'm putting it on upset alert that Clemson may get beat by Miami.
Okay.
Texas Tech and Oklahoma. Oklahoma laid a goose egg against Texas early in the year.
I think they don't. Not let that happen. And because who they beat last week? I mean, they didn't let them score a point.
Was it Kansas State?
Oh, yeah, Kansas State had a pretty good team.
Yeah, and they greased them. They greased Kansas State.
As much as I like Cliff and what he's doing at Texas Tech, I'm going to go with Stoops, man.
Yeah.
Go Bob.
I'm with you. I'm going Big Game Bob. I'm going Big Game Bob, too. So this one is probably no doubt of who's going to win it. I'm going to ask you to pick it and tell me what they're going to win by. Bama and Tennessee.
I'm thinking Bama is going to win by 21.
That's what I gave him. I said Bama by 21. But in my mind, I really wanted to give him 28. I think Bama is going to, oh, my God. I think they're going to drag these boys.
They're going to set up murder.
Because remember this small caveat. This is Lane Kiffin going back to Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe he left Tennessee on his own. That was his own doing.
Like, yeah, I know. I know, but still, just to turn the dagger of so I left, so what?
Yeah.
You know, y'all was garbage, and I'm gonna prove it. Florida State, and Georgia Tech.
Man, Georgia Tech just didn't win off, man. They just didn't. I mean, after they beat the brakes off of Tulane, that was pretty much it. They won the first two games. I'm not sure who the first two games were. Then they played Tulane. I mean, beat the stank off of them. And then that was it. I thought they were going to play decent against Notre Dame. Didn't. There was another school I thought they were going to play pretty decent against. They did. Duke beat them now. Unless Georgia Tech is playing a little sister of the poor, they ain't going to win no more games.
Well, yeah, and
because they run the wing T option.
Yeah, I agree. Wing T is what I should be running in Pop Warner, but not in D1 football.
Correct.
I tried to see, I was looking back. I was talking to somebody because one of my coworkers is a Tech fan, or either the guys that be at the gym. And I was like, did they lose? I mean, did they lose a star player or something? Because, I mean, the wheels fell off really hard when it fell off.
Yeah.
And because I'm like you, I thought it starts here. I'm like, uh-oh, you know, they going to contend in the ACC, and it's so not been the case. I mean, they have been getting drugged throughout. So I'm with you. I expected a whole lot more out of Tech. Because, again, they played, they beat Tulane 65-10.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last game they won. They have lost five in a row. To Notre Dame, Duke, North Carolina, Clemson, and Pittsburgh. So, Florida State probably going to put that thing to them. The two last games, I think, are toss-ups. Well, one of them was, but they got beat by Memphis last week. Texas A&M and Ole Miss.
Texas A&M.
And even though I will go on record and saying Ole Miss is a team from Mississippi, so Humidor gets another feather in his cap by these Mississippi teams. I've put it on my to-do list. I got to watch a Memphis game. I got to see, because I talked to somebody that watched all that Ole Miss-Memphis game, and I was like, so, dude, what happened? I said, you know, was this an anomaly or not? He was like, no, Memphis soundly beat them on every side of the football. I said, okay, so did Ole Miss not show up? He said, no, Ole Miss showed up. He said, Memphis has a good football team.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched them play, but I know it was only like 3-4 years ago. Memphis didn't win a game, or only won one or two games. So I don't know what coaching change they made.
Last year, a year before last, you know, they had that big win. Well, they won like 10 games, but they had that big fight at the end when they beat BYU in that bowl game.
Oh, yeah, sure did, didn't they?
Yeah.
So somebody started recruiting the gutter in Memphis, right? That sounds like it happened. Somebody started.
I will say, It wasn't
Memphis
players that started that. Tell you that. They finished it.
Okay. So, well, like I said, I want to watch Memphis play, man, and see what they got going on. All right, the other one is Utah and USC.
I'm going to Utah, man. Utah on the roll, man. So, Utah got a pretty decent squad. They got that good running back, too.
I pick Utah too, man, and that's, you know, that's an anomaly for me. I ain't really bought into the whole Utah thing, but I have been impressed. I have watched them play a couple games, and I have been impressed with what Utah's done. And I mean, USC just got rid of a drunkard. Big Trey, does this shock you at all? I gotta hit this with talking to USC. That, do you keep your AD in place? And the AD must know, think he's gonna get fired because he faked a heart attack. He did a red fox on him. he did a sample. Yeah,
I don't know if he was faking or if the pressure of, like, I know I'm done, I'm about to lose my job. He got so much pressure on him that he might have had a real slight. Like
Smith
of the heart.
He actually had an Urban Meyer.
The pressure got to him.
But brother, how do you as an AD, how were you even contemplating letting that coach keep his job? Have you seen some of the reports that came out about that, Big Drake?
I have not.
So one of the players, so during the week of practice before that game, no, okay. So at the game against, I can't remember, I think Arizona State, the assistant coaches removed him from the huddle because they suspected him of being drunk.
Wow.
They removed him from the huddle, from talking to players, because they said, and the only way somebody can suspect you from being drunk is what? I smell alcohol on your breath.
Smell it on you. Smell it on you.
So they removed, that's during the game. And then either the week after, nope, because they fired him, I think. They sent him in the next day. So that week leading up to that, one of the players sent a text message to one of the ESPN analysts. They didn't say who. If I had to guess, I'm thinking it's probably like Stephen A. or one of those cats. Sent a text message to him saying, "Coach just showed up slizzard again to practice slizzard again." He didn't say slizzard. He said, "Coach just showed up lit again to practice."
Wow, man. That says a lot, though.
That says a lot. How were you as an AD? So with both of these accounts there, the AD had made the decision just to send him to rehab. How can you keep your job when that's what you had decided to do, man? The only reason why this dude got fired was because of the outcry once all this stuff came out. The AD wouldn't have fired him.
Probably. I agree.
I mean, that to me, I was just like, I was floored at some of the stuff I was reading. that it appears that this has become a pattern. Because, you know, early in the season, he showed up to a homecoming. I mean, to a preseason kickoff event. He showed up drunk. He admitted to have drinking and taking medication to that one. And they have him on videotape appearing drunk and cussing and talking about screwing people and all this other stuff on tape at the event.
Wow. Yeah, he got a problem, though. He got a serious problem.
That's what I'm saying. Dude, this is, I mean, that is, and again, you know, I would pray for him, man. I really hope the man gets the help he needs. Because when you're at that level, that much pressure and all that stuff, to have these noted, you know, issues right here, I mean, to your point, he has a major problem. Major
yeah.
problem. So Steve Sarkisian, man, we really hope you get some help, man. Cause alcoholism is a serious sickness, man, and I don't like to see anybody deal with it like that.
I mean, when you start, you know, going in public,
yeah,
and you just brazen with it, you're in a huddle, and you do something.
Yeah, you come show up though. To a game, bro.
Yeah, come on, though.
To the point of where your assistant coaches had to remove you from the huddle. I mean, that's pretty, and I wanted to go back and try to replay that game so I can see him from the sidelines. But like, could everybody else tell he was drunk?
Dude, he doing that thing like Denzel on Flight.
He is.
Like fight that thing on up, bro.
He taking a swig out of his flask before walking through the paper.
Yeah. Well, in his words, he'll be stumbling
through the paper. Hey, I can't go first. Y'all go first. You know.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring up the rest.
He could never do that thing Les Miles do with trying to hold people back.
But you know, if. To me, this is a true sign of an alcoholic. When you can be drunk and nobody not know it.
That's right.
Unless they smell it on your breath.
That's right.
Up until all this stuff happened and all these reports came out, I don't think anybody looked at. I didn't think anybody looked at the game and be like, "Is he drunk?" I mean, ain't nobody thought of that. So.
When you can function drunk, you have a serious problem.
Yeah,
functioning alcoholic is a serious problem. I agree wholeheartedly, man. Well, like I said, Big Drake, man, we gonna come back, man. How far are you guys away from the NO?
We just stopped. My lovely wife had to stop and, you know, use the bathroom.
Right.
And do a little bike. You gotta stay hungry, as she would like to say. We hungry. I went Creola. Is like 17 miles outside of Mobile.
Okay, I gotcha.
Why? Well, close.
All right, Big Drake, like I say, man, hopefully we'll hit up on your ride back and lay some more minutes down for the folks, man.
Yes.
You wanted a parting word still for him? For
no,
this episode?
Well, I mean, when you start drinking hand sanitizer on the sideline, get some help, man. Get some help. Like, coach hands always be fresh. No, he's drinking hand sanitizer on the sideline.
Why coach over there licking his fingers, coach?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this in the moment. In a moment of solemnness, though, seriously, because yeah, I think me and you now, Big Drake, I don't know what this is. We 1999, so we've known each other now, going on what 17 years? Is that hold on? Is my math right? We've known each other what 17 years now, right?
This
was
98?
Yeah. 99? But we started pledging in November that year.
Yeah, so.
17 years?
Yeah.
Wow, we getting old. but you know what? And with this issue, my challenge is this. how many of his homeboys knew this? And you know, I tell my wife this all the time. I tell her this all the time. When, you know, if any of her friends got issues, and she'll tell me some stuff, and I'll be like, so what did you say? Well, I mean, I ain't say nothing. I'm like, you owe it to them. And I got to say, you owe it as a friend. You cannot just be there. You can't just be there as you can't just be there as a rider. Because if I'm riding, if I'm a passenger in your car and you're getting ready to run us off the cliff, I got to be willing to say something. And so I'm always challenging her. And even in this situation, if you got somebody that's going down a really, really dangerous path, you owe it to yourself to say something. That's what we are required to do for friendship. To say something, no matter what. And even if we don't, and I understand sometimes, you know, we may not want to be in their business, or we don't want them to be angry or whatever. It may not feel it's our place to say something, but you owe it to them. You owe it to them as a friend to be willing to say something. And so I just wonder how many people around him knew the path he was going down and chose to say, man, well, it ain't my business. Just talked about it, but nobody ever jumped in and say, hey, Steve, man, let's go get some help. Let's do something about this.
Yeah. Like, really, because, and I guess, because you know, head coaches, especially when you get big time, you kind of get a pass at certain stuff.
Right.
And I'm gonna give you a little quick little story. I'm not going to say no names, but I was at work, and this guy was fairly new in investigations, and he was acting a certain way or whatever, and, you know me, I just told him. And one of the people, because he had been in control for a lengthy amount of time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and he's a good dude. He just got, like, this certain little way about him. And they're like, wow, I'm surprised you said something to him. Well, shit, I mean, somebody needed to. I mean, he ain't going to talk to me that way. I don't
right.
care, you know. I don't care. And I'm like, well, that's kind of just the way he is. And my rebuttal to that was, just because that's the way he is, still don't make it right.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
And I think a lot of times when you are a likable person, I know I got my quirks about me. Everybody got their thing. And I'm pretty sure because we've known each other 17 years, and this is small stuff, same drinking and drugs and all that.
Right.
But because I am the way I am, instead of saying something to me about it, like, well, that's just Drake. Oh, that's just Prince.
Yeah.
But when you get to the point where you're putting, you know, a life in jeopardy, I mean,
because coaching football,
his life is in jeopardy, and his family.
Right.
You know, and if I send my child to you, especially let's say I'm living in Alabama and I send my child to California, I'm expecting you and your coaching staff to be secondary parents to my child.
That's right.
And if you're in a huddle of a game and you quote unquote lit, that's a problem. But I think because he is who he is as far as having a high-profile coaching job. He didn't get the high-coaching profile job yesterday. That this was a maturation.
Mm-hmm.
He worked his way up through the ranks. And then him getting drunk, it's like, oh, that's just Steve.
Yeah.
You know, instead of somebody actually trying to... But you know, we had a president that used to like to get a little wet. Hey. Bush. You know, Bush was known
Bush was known to get lit.
Yeah,
that's even worse that I got the man of the free world, which continues to blow my mind that we would even, as a country, and I ain't going to get on my high horse yet, but we're going to have this discussion as some people shake out. It blows my mind that anybody in their right mind could possibly ever in life consider Donald Trump as president of the United States. Absolutely blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. It's asinine to me, brother, that anybody consider that you really want Donald Trump to represent you as the representative for the free world.
I'm not even get on that.
Do you hate?
That's another show.
We're going to have to call some special guests in on that show. I want to get somebody's perspective on that one.
It's crazy.
But like you said, he was high profile, and people very well may say, man, that's just Steve, man. And They've always counted that as, that's one of the things you got to deal with when you got Steve.
Yes. That's just his little thing. You know, he's going to be a little wet.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a good coach. Right. You're going to be a little wet.
But like we started out talking about, you know, about Crystal. Put Crystal in the game. You know, this is a full contact sport, and a sport in which a person really, you could affect, impact somebody's life for the rest of their life. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so you come to a practice lit, and you don't have great judgment. You can't when you're lit, and you call the wrong thing or set up the wrong something or something to get somebody permanently injured and paralyzed. Mm-hmm. That's on you, brother. That's on you. That's impacting somebody else's life.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Friends, if you're out there, man, if you see something, say something. Don't just be a passenger, man. Be willing to take the wheel if you see somebody going off the cliff. Don't let
you know what I mean? Especially if this person is your true friend. Don't be an acquaintance.
That's right.
You know, friends, people use that word friend loosely.
They do.
If you're a true friend and not an acquaintance, you say something. Help your boy out. Yep. Help your friend, your buddy, whether it's Steve. I mean, help your friend out.
Don't let him
might
go.
Hurt. It might hurt.
And you may lose him for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes that's stuff that people fall out for. But people, you know, when they finally come to the light, they usually come back. You know, and you get a thank you, man. So I know we've done that. You know, I was able to talk to D. Allen, and he passed me on our frat brother's name and number, who's in Atlanta. And I really am. I told him, he's like, he had talked to him, and he said he talked to him often. He said, you know, he don't talk to frat because of how he thinks frat thinks of him, and I asked for his number. And I told him, I said, man, when I was younger, I can get chalk it up to that. I was younger, I did some stupid things and some very immature things, and some of them I'm not proud of. And one of them was how I treated him. I said, I just want to call him and let him know I love him. And apologize for how I handled the situation and how I treated him. But if there's everything any in life that he ever needs from me, I want him to know I'll always be his brother and he can always call me. And I want to be there for him, man. But I really want to let him know I apologize for how I treated him. You know, friendships, man, you gotta, it goes beyond your little pride and all that other stuff, man. That you gotta be willing to be
with each other. Unconditional love.
That's right, man. All right, Big Drake, like I said, folks, we'll hit y'all up with another show this week. We ain't gonna leave you hanging. We're gonna talk about some more football, college, and NFL, man. So stay tuned, man. Part two of the Made Men Radio Show will be coming at you, man. Big Drake, y'all be safe on that road, man. Have fun, man, and we'll holler at you tomorrow.
Peace.
How do I make this make sense? Oh, let Christ enter. Yeah, now I'm free from my sin, free from the prison and the bondage I was in. Now I had to live it and believe it in the morning and the evening. I'm sitting on me, won't break up in, man. I gotta stand tall. The world around is all tempting me to fall. BET instead of tempting me to ball. So we